Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Joe Van Secret Podcast, Season 2. With me today is another guest. I stopped doing numbers because I think that's degrading. So instead, I will just say hello to my guest today.
Hello.
Hey. So before we jump into it, I have today's sponsor, and today's sponsor is The Illuminati. The Illuminati, encouraging you to keep watching movies and listening to music. They're not distractions, they're a way of life. Anyway, now that we got that out of the way, we can just jump right into it. Okay. So, I'll start by asking, how's your day today?
Pretty good so far.
What have you spent your time doing?
I just had lunch with my mom and my siblings.
Very good. It's a good way to spend a day.
Yeah, every Thursday.
Yeah, that's nice. Do you have a scheduled life?
Pretty much. I like a schedule. I usually take an art class, so I'll do that once a week. I try to come out to my workshop and paint every day. I used to do a scheduled exercise, but I've been in a lot of pain, you know, with arthritis lately, so. Well, maybe I should take that back. I used to have a very scheduled life.
Sure. Well, things always change, so yeah, I guess you can create a schedule. It doesn't mean it'll stay.
Yeah.
So that's just the sort of regular life so far. You're not currently working. You could be a 20-something with arthritis. We don't know.
Oh,
but...
yes. Oh, yes, I could be because my voice sounds so. No, I'm not working. No, haven't really worked. I raised children. And I've been married for 38 years. So some scheduled activities are like cooking dinner every night.
Yeah.
And I like to paint. So I try to find that time for that every day.
Yeah. Because, the concept of work is just doing something that you got to put effort into, right?
Well, to me, work is like you get a paycheck.
Okay, yeah, so that is the concept.
Other than that, it's your life.
You're just living life, yeah. So raising children wasn't work to you, in general, I guess.
No, are you kidding? Good. Best time of my life.
That's great. That's good to hear. Yeah. How are your kids doing?
Pretty good. There's four of them. They're all grown up, and... we've got two grandchildren.
Yeah, already two. Are there more on the way, or is it a mystery?
Yeah, not so far.
Not so far?
Yeah,
I can barely keep up with that stuff. I mean, you know.
Maybe soon, Joe.
Maybe. So what's another question I got here? You mentioned painting. Mm-hmm. Would you consider that one of your greatest hobbies in
life?
Yes. Yeah.
Passion,
yes. Passion, yeah. How did it all start? What's the story?
About 29 years ago, we got a computer for the first time, and we had it in the dining room.
What year was 29 years ago? Was that the mid-80s? 1990, okay, nice.
Yeah, I think it was about 1990. Madeline was one. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a children's story. It was really cute. And I called my father and I asked him if he would illustrate it for me, and Grandpa said no. I said, what do you mean no? He said, the words came out of your head, so the pictures need to too. And I said, but Dad, I don't know how to draw. He said, so what, go learn. So I did, and that was the, you know, let's see, the next shortly after that, well, another year, Madeline went to nursery school, and that's when I started taking classes. So I am a university dropout. Nice. I went to Western for 2 years. So I brought forward all my marks. I lived a block away from a university in California. I brought forward all my marks and registered at this, it was called college, but it was a 4-year university, and to finish my degree. And the first class, I was so nervous. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just praying the teacher would be older than me. And I wore a dress and a string of pearls to my first art class. Can you imagine? Art studios are really dirty and dumpy and messy. And, you know, you wear your painting clothes and running shoes and jeans. Anyhow, I had a dress and pearls on.
Did they come with an apron of any kind? Is there a way to cover it?
Oh, I had no idea what I was doing. But the teacher was really nice. And most of the kids in the class were, you know, 18 and 19. And... it was drawing and composition. So I really started at the beginning, you know, drawing shapes and shadows, and that was a really good class. I stayed at that university. I just took one class a semester for about 2 years, and then the times didn't line up for daycare for me, because I would get a babysitter in the afternoon for Madeline. And so then I switched to the community college. It's just a two-year college close to where I lived. And they had a really extensive art department. And I kind of forgot about finishing my degree, and I just learned everything I could. So I, you know, did drawing and composition first, and then watercolor. I mastered that. Then I moved into oil painting. And then I did figure painting for about 4 years, like painting from a live model. And then I moved into printmaking. I did a lot of printmaking. And I was painting all along, like that had become my hobby in the garage. And then I took sculpture for a number of years, and they had a foundry at this college. It was great. And once a month we did a bronze pour. It was really fun. So that was sort of my art education. So I have enough credits. I think I just have to take a language credit and a math credit, and I would have my degree. But when we moved to Canada from the US, it was 2001. And that was the year, 2 years in a row, they had the double cohort when, you know, it went from 5 years of high school down to 4 years of high school.
Oh, yeah.
So for a while there, they had double the amount of kids going into university. And that was the year I was looking at bringing forward my marks and finishing these last two credits at U of T. So I would have my Bachelor of Fine Arts. And so there I was in the art department at U of T and all these young kids. And I thought, what the heck am I doing? You know, there's barely enough spaces for young people. I have no use for a degree. I'm not going to teach or anything like that. So that's when I just said thanks. But, you know, I'll just go back to my house and keep painting.
And has there ever been a moment since where
no.
you thought...
where I wished I had my
degree?
You'd
finish it? Not even wish, but you could jump in at any point, right? You could do it right now.
What for? So I
could it's more fun to say that you're a dropout. Because none of it actually matters, right?
None of it really matters. And, yeah. And you know, would I then put some letters after my name on my business card? No.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I just whatever. It was something back then that helped motivate me to, take the classes,
right?
And do all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, I guess that was the motivator in the beginning. And then for years, I used to think about, as I was falling asleep at night, how can I make that color green? You know, things like that. Then it just kind of filled my brain. That's all I wanted to do.
That's great. Well, that's amazing. I mean, yeah, I've had a similar, not in the similar way of the events that took place, but with my passion that sort of took over where, yeah, if there's ever a silent moment, it's totally filled with, you know, whatever.
Well, I know.
Story
I never have nothing to do.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
that, oh, are you kidding? I just come out here, look around. It's great fun. And I really like it. I paint for myself. I don't paint for other people. And as a result, I sell paintings. I probably haven't sold too many recently, but my last show I sold 8. But I don't paint in one style. A lot of artists, they find their niche and then they find their style or whatever, and then they start cranking them out and make a name for themselves. And you know, I could never take any, like a selection of each to a gallery, because the gallery would say, well, do you paint like this all the time or this? You know, they're looking for consistency, and I'm not very consistent.
No. And to the audience that has no eyes, unfortunately, we are in this amazing art studio. Would you call it anything else? Is it?
I call it my workshop.
The workshop, yeah, that's great. And there's tons of different styles all over the place. Like, there are a few that are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just that I'm looking at now, you have faces of animals.
Mm-hmm.
But, so you could string three together there. You do...
I have 11 of those.
You do long faces as well?
Yeah, I do lots of Morbidly Annie ones.
Yeah, I remember those. Those are really cool. And I also remember the laughing...
Laughing
old people! The
laughing ladies!
Sorry,
I gotta do some guys.
Yeah. But that's great. I mean, you know, but that isn't your style, because that's...
It's just a series, and then I get bored of doing them, and then I do something else.
Yeah. What would you say you like doing the most? Obviously, it's like with kids, there's no favorites, but landscapes, animals,
slash
humans.
Landscapes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, since we've been in Dundas now for 4.5 years, almost 5 years, And as soon as I got here, I thought, now is the time to really learn and get a good handle on painting plein air, painting outside, and because this is so beautiful here. So I'm in a outdoor painting group on Mondays, and it's a challenge. You know, it's really hard, especially in the winter and crappy weather. And also just capturing the light and painting quickly, like organizing everything so you can crank out your painting in 3 hours. I like to finish, if I do a plein air painting, I want to finish it on site. Like when I come home and try to finish it here, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I would say landscapes, 100% landscapes, and I think I'm kind of pretty good at them. I know how to do trees and rocks and things like that.
Yeah, very nice. But so as far as the whole having to do it in a set amount of time, the only thing that I ever learned, and it wasn't even from painting but just drawing, is that you have to go from the bottom up. There's rarely an instance where you draw, right? Yeah, with painting that is most effective, right?
Mm.
There's not a lot of objects at the top of the image that are going to overtake other objects.
Sometimes, I've been taught a lot of different ways. I'm forever a student. I've been painting for 29 years, but I always take a class because I enjoy being with like-minded people, other artists, and I think I learn just as much from them as I do from the instructor. And it's nice to have homework, really. Again, another really good motivator. But so I've been taught every different way, and mostly the way I do it with a landscape, I usually start with the sky.
Oh, you do? So you start with the top.
Not just top down, but the furthest away forward.
Okay.
Like, for example, this one. I know people who are listening can't see it, but I started with the blue background, the sky, and now the clouds are going on. This is very one pass. I've got a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. But the very last thing I'll do probably is these trees or this section here, because it's the closest to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of grade your colors that way too. Things that are in the distance are going to be lighter in tone and further away because of the atmosphere. So I might put a little touch of black in there or a darker shade, anyhow, lots of tricks, but that's how I go top to bottom usually.
Cool.
Although I've had many instructors that say paint the whole canvas at the same time, and there's benefits in that as well. Like if I have blue in the sky, then I might want to have some blue in the foreground,
Oh, so you do that and then after you touch up kind of thing.
I do it lots of different ways.
Yeah, I guess to teach artists their method. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. So having the time to be creative, that's led to other avenues that I know that you've made. Do you want to touch a bit on that?
Sure.
About what you do? So what are they specifically called? Just crystal making or?
Oh, my Orgonite?
Orgonite, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like these things?
Yeah.
That's a pretty simple one. Oh, I haven't made any of this in almost a year. Can you believe it?
Wow, really?
Yeah, well, I can't get the dye anymore. They stopped making the dye.
Oh, no. Okay.
I call it Orgonite, and Orgonite comes from a term called Orgon energy. Wilhelm Reich was a contemporary of Sigmund Freud's back in the 20s.
Yeah.
And he's the one who discovered Orgon energy. And you can read all about him. A lot of people think he was a whack job, and he got into areas. There's a lot of controversy about this guy. But anyhow, he was supposedly curing cancer back then. And so this is an offshoot of that. I was traveling, doing a bus tour of Ireland, and I was sitting beside this guy one day. And he told me all about it. And I said, what? What is this? What are you doing? And that night in my room, I didn't go down for dinner. I stayed in my room and I Googled everything I could about it. It was just really interesting and it kind of fit my philosophy. Orgonite is a small device. It's a quartz crystal with a point and metal shavings, from a lathe, but they have to be in a curlicue fashion, right? So when you combine the metal shavings with the quartz crystal, pressure like that, it changes negative energy to positive energy. So to do that pressure, I put them in these molds with a casting medium, like an acrylic casting medium. In the beginning, I used fiberglass, but it's kind of cloudy, doesn't look so pretty. And then I found this clear casting medium at Michael's, and I use that. And the dye, that's the part I can't get anymore, so I could still make them. But you know, it's for the electromagnetic frequencies that come off computers, TVs, microwaves, all that kind of stuff. We just don't know the long-term effect of it. And people who are sensitive to energy can be affected by those frequencies coming at you. I don't know about you, Joe, but often when I talk to Beatrice on the phone, it gets all garbly, or sometimes things used to break. Hasn't really happened since I've been making this stuff. Yeah. But, you know, glitches in electronics, and anyhow, it's just healthy to have around. So there's a small group of people like me who were making it and giving it away for free. I have a very generous husband who earned a nice income. Crystals have pretty much stayed the same in price. I have a website where I order them. Mm-hmm. But and the metal shavings I get for free from a friend who works in a metal shop. Yes. But the goop has doubled in price, and now it's going up even more. And so I did sell them for a little while. I had a few outlets where I sold them, but yeah, I just haven't made any. Once again, I did it for about 6 years, and now I'm on to the next thing.
So what's the next thing?
Maple syrup!
That's right, yeah, sorry. Okay, so, and how long have you been doing it?
No, just this season.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so far I've made like probably 8 ounces, woohoo.
Still, that's 8 free ounces,
yeah,
right?
No, but I probably have another, out of those 2 pots you saw in there, I probably have another 15 ounces, tops.
Wow.
That'll be it. Yeah. But it's fun. It's just the process. And since we've been in Dundas, it's so beautiful here. And there are so many local farms around this area, and organic farms. And so more and more I'm drawn to that. And using what we have.
Would you ever consider planting a garden? Or do you already? Okay, yeah, I'm just ignorant.
Well,
it's not the season.
I have a garden. I have 3 raised beds because I have a lot of walnut trees in my yard, and that does something weird to the soil. And it's really shady in my yard, so I don't get a lot of sunlight. But I have joined, this will be my 3rd season, with a farm up in Copetown where I get my organic vegetables for the season. So I go up there about once a week starting in May, and this year we went right through until the end of October, beginning of November, getting vegetables. And I get my eggs up there as well, too.
So where's Copetown? Is that far from
just
here?
Up the road. Up Governor's Road. Oh, yes, 10 okay. minutes away.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. Anytime I hear like another place, I always imagine it's like an hour.
Oh, it's so pretty. No, it's just right up there. But, you know, I just, more and more, another passion of mine, equally as passionate about painting as I am about children. And we lived in Toronto for 12 years, and while I was there,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's a long time. I was around for all that too.
Joe,
that's the crazy thing.
I've been back for almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
Gone for 20, back for 20. Yeah. Ooh, where am I going next? But anyhow, all that time in Toronto, I volunteered at a special needs school for small children. So it was like a nursery school, kids 2 to 5. And we had a few healthy kids in the class, and then the rest were like Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, autism, things like that. And it was one-on-one with the child, so I had the same kid for the whole school year. And we followed the program, and it was, you know, phys ed and, you know, pretty much everything, regular school. And what I noticed was more and more children in the class with autism, and, you know, talking to the parents when they came to pick up the kids, you know, this mother was going to change their diet, take out the gluten, do all, you know, it's just, we have to think about the foods we eat and the effect they have on our body, because everything is so genetically modified now.
It's true.
Like the wheat and the corn and all of that. And so many people are sensitive to that stuff now. You know, I'm doing the best I can now. I wish I had known all this stuff when my kids were little.
Yeah.
But whatever, they're healthy, touch wood.
Yeah, exactly. I contribute a lot of my height to GMOs.
Sure.
Not in a good way, but it's like the hormones that were in McDonald's.
Yeah, think about it.
Came into me, neither, like, I am taller than both my parents by far.
Yeah, but you know, people are getting taller, Joe. I mean, if, you know, you go to a castle in England or anywhere in Europe, the doorways are this big. Hey, you don't even have to go there. In my house, I live in a 200-year-old house, the front staircase, there are 15 steps, and the banister is too low because people were really little. The back staircase, which was added in, I think it was added in 1900, has 14 steps.
Wow.
And the banister is regular height.
Yeah.
So just in that 100-year period even.
Yeah, it's because, yeah, it makes you wonder. Like, what's your view on evolution? Are you for or against?
What do you mean?
Jumping into it. Like the state of micro and macro evolution. I always want to jump into that before
I jump into anything else. I believe in everything.
Okay,
you know?
Okay, that's good. So, like, with dogs, you know how we bred dogs however many hundreds of years ago?
Yeah.
Like, it was a short amount of time ago that we started specializing in.
Yeah.
Like, it's recorded history. It wasn't like, you know, 20,000 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
So we took wolves that became domesticated because we have food, and they decided, you know, survival of the fittest kind of thing.
Is that how coyotes happened?
The coyotes are wild. So they're a subspecies. But with however long ago it was, 30 or 20,000 years ago, we domesticated wolves and then started breeding them different ways, like giving them different diets and breeding them with different species and then training them a certain way that it became hereditary for the next breed to have better skills, whether it's with running or with smelling.
Well, yeah, you're just saying Darwin's theory of evolution, right? I mean, geez, we all used to have...
But like on the small scale.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Yeah, that's evolution. I mean, kids are being born without wisdom teeth now. We don't have tails anymore. I mean, you know, that sort of thing.
But,
and people are getting taller. And...
Yeah, that was my thing about it, is the height. It's probably... Because there's no way that it could have happened at such a short amount of time where it's like... It's not like humans used to be 3 foot tall, right? We were probably around 5 feet.
No,
something.
We weren't. No, I think they were more like 4 feet tall. I'm telling you, Joe. Like,
but for what was the scale is my question. Because if we've grown like over a foot in the last 100 years, and we continue to even grow more than that, where it's average for kids that are my younger brother's age to be 6'5", that's becoming like the new norm. It's crazy.
So weird.
Or it's just tall people hanging out with each other. But like, I'm not seeing a lot of other
shorter people anymore.
Yeah,
that's
they're
true.
All getting tall. So I'm thinking it's nutrition based.
Yeah,
and it's the GMOs, because I'm not saying GMOs are a good thing at all, but I'm thinking the hormones have something to do with it.
Oh, I totally agree. And it's not just the corn and the wheat instead. Yeah, all the hormones they put in milk.
Yeah, the animals that we eat, right?
Everything.
Because, here's my thing. And I'm a hypocrite or I'm not, I honestly don't know. But my philosophy is that meat is murder, especially because, like, at least with pigs, we know that they're, like, more intelligent than dogs. They can feel feelings.
It's so
at
sad.
Such a more level. And we're treating them to, like, worse conditions than we've treated anything in history. And it's such a mass production.
And it breaks my heart when I'm on the highway. And I passed those trucks.
Yeah, and
you
can
know?
See
and,
them in there.
Oh, and just the other day, Joe, this one pig had his snout stuck out the one of the... You can just tell they're all in there crying their heads off.
Yeah,
you know,
they,
it's like
they
the train
know.
Ride to Auschwitz. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah,
I
don't like using that comparison, but it's true. Where it's like they know that something bad's happening. They can smell death in the air when you start pushing them out towards the slaughter room where it happens.
Yeah.
And because of my work, I've had to go to Fearman's slaughterhouse and have to go in there to pick up meat and stuff, and I have to go past the area where they do that, and it's like I want to burn the place down. Like, it honestly disgusts me. But then at the same time, I eat meat.
You do?
There's a clear... Yeah.
Oh,
there's
why?
Convenience.
Because you're hungry.
Convenience, yeah. There's a clear disassociation between... Like, I'm a person of two minds, where it's like, if you put it in front of me, I'm going to eat it, but it's like... But if you say you got to go out in the back and kill the animal, then the vast majority of people wouldn't do it nowadays.
Yeah.
And I feel like the meat companies know that. They try and make it cute with the McNuggets, or I guess they've been doing that for decades. But they're trying to disassociate
But it's not even for the humanitarian reasons we shouldn't be eating meat. It's also for the...
It's actually not even that good for us. Colon cancer is caused by red meat a lot.
Really?
Yeah, so too much bacon can kill you.
Or make you giant size, one or the other. But yeah, it's also the off gases from the cows in the fields and how much land they use. Like, it's just, it's too much. It's just, it's too much. It's inhumane. And well, at least for me, I don't know, years back, I just couldn't tolerate it. My system couldn't tolerate it anymore.
Yeah.
I used to crave like a steak, you know, red meat, and I would feel so much better in the morning. Poof. If I had a steak for dinner, I probably wouldn't sleep all night long.
Yeah.
And then it does this to my gut. And yeah.
And plus, the less you have of it, your body metabolizes whatever dietary.
Well, it just makes you pay attention. I mean, you said it, Joe. You're lazy, so you eat it. But it makes you pay attention then to what you're eating and why you're eating it. And I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's the whole I don't know, where it's like, it'd be nice if the whole world changed. I feel like the closer we get to the whole, whatever they call it, lab meat. I don't know what the right word for it is, but just artificial meat that they create, whether it's with tofu or whether it's actually cells that are, you know, manipulated in a lab to create meat without actually having to kill anything.
Yeah, I think they already have that.
They do, but it's like in California. It's not really worldwide. Like the stuff that A&W uses now, I think that's just tofu based or soy based.
Really? Like fake meat?
Yeah.
Hey.
They have Beyond Meat burgers and stuff.
Hey.
So it is catching on, just not, obviously, it hasn't gotten close to being in a place where like only 50% of the population has meat, right?
Yeah.
A lot of it's cultural too. There's a lot of religious significance towards eating certain meats on certain days and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be basically impossible to extinguish, but I think for the majority of the first world population, it's just a conveniency thing, like with me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many people have seen slaughter videos, but it's like, you know, I saw one that was in VR.
I never would.
So you know what VR is? Where it's like you
put
on the goggles where you can't look away, basically, and you're completely just in a different world, and you're just, it's terrible.
No way, Jose. Yeah, no, couldn't do it.
But anyway.
Listen, I have a hard time driving by those trucks with the pigs on the inside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't want to see what they do.
Yeah.
But, so I digress. The next question I have for you is about your worldview or your philosophy. What's, is it the same that it used to be, and what is it currently?
Well, let's see. My personal philosophy is I just want to have fun. My worldview philosophy?
Like, what happens when you die? What's the world made up of? And all that.
Oh, what's it all about, Alfie? Let's see. Well, everybody has their own opinions. I guess mine is, I don't know. I believe in reincarnation. But I think karma is finished. I mean, some of the reasons people were being born again was to, you know, fulfill this or do that. But I suppose that's still the way I think. Like, we're born to learn certain lessons and become more Christ-like, like our God-like. People have lessons and things that they need to accomplish in their lifetime, like purpose, maybe. That's a good word. But I think your life purpose changes throughout your life, depending. I sound wishy-washy all over the place.
Well, ask me
a more specific question. Let's
okay,
see if I can put it that way.
Do you believe in destiny?
Destiny? No, I don't.
No.
Well, no, because I think your destiny can change because we have free will.
So, yeah, so it's what you make it, basically, right?
Yeah, like if you want, I believe in the law of attraction. So if you want something and you can't just sit here and wish for it, but you can absolutely make that happen for you. If you apply the laws of attraction, you know, keep your thoughts on the end result, but then do all the work to get there. So, you know how the law of attraction works.
Yeah, so I know the law of attraction. And because for me, I don't know what it is, but I always like, I don't know if I did it when I was a kid because I can't really remember my childhood, but I don't know if I asked too many questions, but I trail down that where like in grade 12, I took a philosophy class and like, learned about logic and where logic sort of originated, which was in the fields of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you say a sentence and then you follow it and try to carry that trail of logic to the end, like a bachelor or someone who isn't married, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think of the law of attraction, because obviously I don't know, that's sort of how philosophy works, right? There's literally no way to know one way or the other. But I'm curious about, like, if someone else also wants that thing, does that create like a competition where even if that's the only thing you want, you don't get it because someone else wanted it more than you? And stuff like that? Do you think that would play a factor?
Like, the law of attraction is...
Like if it's for a job, let's say. You want that job, and then somebody else also wants that job.
Well, I guess... in that case, that wasn't the right job for you.
Yeah, because you were really...
Right?
Yeah,
so, I mean, that's how you would have to look at it. Like, that was maybe in the right field that you wanted or whatever, but you can't... You know,
Like, you shouldn't throw your hands up if it doesn't...
No, work. Not at all. Not at all. It was that really the best thing for you. Like, come what may, to my highest good, right? Just don't say come what may, because you might get everything thrown at your face.
Yeah.
But to your highest good, maybe that wasn't the right one for you. There are 7 hermetic laws in the universe, and the law of attraction is one of them. And they can prove this, I think. It's like the law of gravity is one of them. Drop a ball. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the most easily tested theory in like all of science. You literally gravity.
Yeah. But so like with the law of attraction, it's like you want a red car. You want that red car, okay? So then you have to. And this was. Do you remember this movie a long time ago? It was called The Secret.
Well, that's the book, The Secret.
Yeah.
Because I know the because I think
it was
I saw
a documentary
like a,
too.
Yeah, I saw the documentary.
I was in my exercising years. I did the treadmill and I watched this documentary all the time. But it was, so you want the red car, so then you go and test drive the red car. Feel what it feels like to sit inside of it. And then now you've got that feeling, so you're holding on to that feeling and that feeling of, ooh, I love this red car. But meanwhile, you're out there doing your job, but you're still holding on to that feeling of like you already own the car.
Yeah.
Like that. So I don't know, when it comes to you want a job and this person wants the same job, and I don't know how to answer that.
I mean for all we know it's a combination of things, but we're all trying to pin it down too much, and maybe just the universe is too like fluid or something,
or maybe it just wasn't right for you and
you don't realize at the time. Speaking of time, right, time is something that's bendable, like you know.
Do you think you do in your dreams at night?
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny how dreams can take place over a period of days, and then you wake up and it's only been like an hour. Like in it, like I've had naps where so much has happened.
I know,
so
isn't it amazing? I love dreaming.
Yeah, because it's like just the brain power. It's crazy to think about. Like we have so much potential. Just energy-wise in our brains, and it's like so little of it's used.
We've been conditioned. We've been, you know, in a society full of beliefs and conditions, and we do have unlimited potential. And I think this is a most interesting time on the planet now, because everything is changing since with the Mayan calendar. What was that? 2012.
Oh yeah, 2012. Apparently, the world was supposed to end, but.
Well, not really. That's as far as the Mayans took it, right? And so then what's the next thing? Is it the second coming of Christ?
He's just a kid right now.
Well, I think it has happened. I think a lot of people now... No. I think a lot of people realize that this second coming of Christ is the learning the Christ within us all. I mean,
so
this is...
So it's like an enlightenment.
Well, yeah. This is what Jesus talked about. Jesus just showed up on the planet... 2,000 years too early. I really believe that.
Well, yeah, it was barbaric societies back then.
Well, no, not that. But he came with the message of love, unconditional love. And and it was in a period where it was still really patriarchal, you know, male dominance everywhere. And it was just too early for the world to hear his message, I think. I mean, you know, this is just my two cents, but... I think once we realize that we all have, go within, for there is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that's something Jesus says all the time. Mm-hmm. So when we go inside, and, you know, and people do this through meditation, you know, or serious self-introspection, and then you can see that, we all have this light in us. And how we should appeal to every person we meet is appeal to that light inside of them. instead of like, ew, you're creepy.
Self-interested, yeah.
Yeah, whatever, like that. Because inside of everybody, even the worst hardened criminal, even Trump, there is this light. It's just...
He's just
so
a little
bright.
Boy. Yeah, he's...
He's just an idiot and we all hate him.
Yeah, but, he's a selfish little boy with an ego problem.
Well, you know, honestly, was it somebody like him needed to be in power so then government could totally crumble and fall
then,
down?
Yeah,
and then something
up.
New could come out of it? Yeah. I don't know. He's fulfilling some kind of psycho role, that's for sure.
Yeah, he seems like the people's America. Like, well, when Europeans talk about Americans, it's like he is the embodiment of that, basically.
Hey, watch
of
out. Listen, hey, I got a whole big American family there.
No. America's a great place. I'm just saying...
I
like,
don't think so.
The image of America
yeah.
is, you know, this guy.
Yeah.
The orange man.
Yeah.
Because,
well,
yeah, morals, like, it's wild how morals work, right? Because it's like we sort of wrote them down... Because, like, instinctually, we have empathy and we have, like, all of these basic traits that make...
Mm-hmm.
make
a human. Yeah.
A human being,
mm-hmm.
like, just a caring, giving,
mm-hmm.
you know, wholesome person. And there's, like, tons of it that are wrapped around weird stuff. It's, like, honor is, you know, it's very honorable to be chivalrous or to be sacrificing or to be all these things, to be caring. But... you know, there's so many different societies and a lot of them got it wrong where it's like killing honor culture and stuff like that. And it's weird how it can, something that's supposed to be good, like honor can be like turned into this terrible thing where
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
you know, you can create like rape culture and murder culture and all this stuff. And
yeah,
it's,
no, yeah, that's
it's weird
yeah.
perversions and it makes
yeah.
you wonder how we even got there.
Yeah.
Because violence is also like an instinct, right? The fight or flight mode, like a survival instinct that's in us. But for... No, I'm not saying, like, you know, we're just going to start attacking each other.
Yeah.
No, because a lot of people say that. They're like, for, like, people who are,
yeah.
you know...
I could do it, though. If somebody was hurting one of my kids, I could take them down.
Just beast mode, yeah.
yeah.
And, I feel like in certain places that turned into a norm when it never should have been, right?
Yeah.
The norm should be the caring and the, you know, like, I imagine, like, this, you know, society back, like,
but
a million years ago.
But you know what, Joe? I really believe that eventually we're going to get there. And it just, you know, again, going back to stupid Trump, somebody like him needed to be in power to show the world or to show the person or whoever, you know, there's a right way and an honest way to do things. And
there's
like,
dishonesty and selfishness. And
yeah, all of that.
All of the worst character traits
so,
a person
so
can have.
What's government really all about? And
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, yeah. But I think everybody... Wait a minute. The one thing I did want to say about the religions is all the world religions have one thing in common. They all have the same testament in common, which is treat the other person as yourself.
The golden rule.
Yeah. Like, and that's all it boils down to. Be nice.
Yeah, just be nice.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to write down, but so many things can get in the way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, now, I brought this up too many times, so I'm not going to bring it up, but like social experiments and stuff like that, which is supposed to show like the worst side of human nature and stuff.
Hmm.
A lot of them, they picked the wrong people because they were doing this in the 60s. They didn't have the same kind of screening that we would typically do now for psychological evaluation before putting people alone in a room together.
Oh, yeah.
But where's it going to go with that? Honestly, I lost it. But there is one thing that I wanted to mention too about the whole being nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, if people get hungry or something, it can create, like, a mob mentality where people, like, act like animals, and then afterwards they feel terrible. It's like when people watch, like, sports games, and then their team loses. They riot the streets.
Yeah.
It's insane how people
yeah.
can act like that.
Yeah.
You put people in a group, and they will become monsters.
Group mentality.
Is monstrous. Yeah, that's, like,
now,
the worst of
groups
us.
Can be a really good thing, too, though. Like, I've done a lot of group meditations and workshop weekends, things like that. Oof.
Yeah.
It amplifies like crazy. You know, whenever there's... You know, more than two people come together, the energy can grow and, you know.
But it's good if there's like an order.
Well,
if you're on the same page.
Well,
if
yeah,
it's chaos,
especially if you're, yeah, if you're doing something good, like in church, like everybody's praying or, you
they
know,
all have
like
the same
that.
Idea.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Instead of people running around and doing whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Chaos is the antithesis, I guess, of being nice to each other.
Yeah,
right?
I guess.
Which is wild. But anyway, I got some more questions here for you.
Sure, go ahead.
If you don't mind. So, yeah. So I have an opinion section, all and right. I haven't done this so far this season, so I'd be thrilled to jump in with you
okay.
if you're down for it. So it's just terms or words, and I just throw them at you, and you give me your opinion on it.
Okay.
So the first one, what is your opinion on tattoos?
Hate them.
You hate them?
Sorry, Joe. I know you got one. I know you all have
well,
one.
Yeah. It's,
well,
it's in a
my thing
place.
Is I just think they're silly because they're trendy. They became very trendy. Unless you're from an African tribe or like an Inca person or whatever, where they used to mark their women. Oh, no, they do that in Morocco. They marked their women. They don't do it anymore, though. I think it's dumb because you want to know what? You're going to get older, and then what do you do? Play guess the tattoo? Yeah, no, because like wrinkles and aging happen.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not for me. Maybe that's what I should say. Everybody can do what they want, but no way.
I think it's
not
a bad
for
idea.
Me. For me, yeah.
Yeah, very good. What is your opinion on abortions? It's contentious, but nobody knows who you are.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose I could say I'm a right to life person, like everybody has their own choice.
Well, I'll give you an example because it's the easiest one to give. What if there's like a 16-year-old who's raped by someone?
Generally, they have a DNC immediately, and so without even knowing
what
whether
happens.
They were pregnant or not, you know, they go to the doctors and they get all cleaned out, examined, and everything else.
Okay.
So that's kind of unless maybe the 16-year-old was raped and didn't go and say something. But I believe that life starts at conception. I believe life starts at conception, not when the child is actually born, but at conception. So I'm a thumbs down for abortion.
The concept, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is your opinion on feminism? The movement.
The movement? I think all movements have been taken to the nth degree now.
Yeah,
I think feminism back, you know, when women were getting the vote was really important.
Yeah, that was literally needed. Right,
yeah.
For equality.
But now I feel we're in a period in time where, you know, everybody has to recognize, you know, male and females are equals in every way, shape, and form. And really, if you really want to say anything, women are way better. Ha, we can produce a baby. You know what? We just need one guy, and that's it.
The whole world's good, yeah.
So I think some women who are like real feminists and everything else, I don't think I have anything bad to say about them, but I really feel like that's an old-fashioned term, or it should be an old-fashioned term, and it should be kept with the suffragettes in the 20s.
Yeah, because it did what it was supposed to do, at least at the time, which was to give them a vote.
Yeah.
Because if you have a vote in your country, then it... Finally, because before then it wasn't really a democratic country.
So,
democracy needs all people to actually be able to have a voice.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's, you know.
Maybe I take it back because it's not a thing of the past because there are still countries in the third world.
That's true. That's
a
very good point. Yeah, we're
yeah.
talking as
so,
if we're just talking about Canada.
I take it back. I think that it is a really important issue, you know, where women are still treated as second-class citizens and possessions and whatnot. So... I take that back. So it's like certainly in North America, old fashioned.
Yeah, of course. Like the term I use for myself is egalitarian, and I looked it up. Egalitarian means that you believe all people are equal regardless of gender, race, religion, whatever.
Absolutely.
You ought to be judged on your character and not your background or whatever.
I don't think anybody should be judged. Who are we?
Well, what if someone cuts you off and then flips you the finger? You could probably say that guy's an a-hole.
Oh, you're right. Okay,
On their actions. Judge it on their actions, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not on who they are.
Yeah.
Based on what they do. That's a better way to put it.
Or you could think to yourself, wow, I bet he's in a real hurry. I hope he doesn't get in an accident.
Yeah, he flipped me the finger, but
you know,
it's probably because...
Maybe he's, you know, in the middle of a divorce, or maybe he's got a sick kid at home. You just never know why people act shitty to other people.
Yeah, and I would think that's usually the case, right?
Yeah.
The world isn't full of psychopaths. I mean, I don't know what the statistic is, but I think it's like 10%. That's still scary, but it's like the majority of people are good people. So if they're acting like...
I'm going back to what I said. I think everybody fundamentally is good. It just, the light gets really hidden by all these false beliefs that they have that they need to weed through, get rid of, so their light can shine.
Then actually, I got an extension of the question,
okay.
just on the whole all people are good one. Like, what about actual psychopaths where the wiring in their brain is that they get attracted to blood instead of sex? Because they're born like that. It's the same as like autism. They're born with
They have a
a brain
real
chemistry.
imbalance. Any kind of serious mental illness like that.
Because yeah, I would say you shouldn't kill a psychopath. Because first, you can learn a lot from them. Like, we should do studies to find out how the human brain actually works. But then contain them and try to come up with some sort of medicine you can give them to not make them want to kill people. Like, because it's like an instinct in them. They want to kill other human beings.
Yeah,
And
like
so
that. See,
I'm
that's
sure.
not normal. Like, how
No.
many of those people are actually out there? I guess the jails are full of them,
Well, yeah,
but
but the jails are full of like killers who did it like in a heat of the moment kind of thing, you know? Not the same as like someone who actually enjoys it.
a truly sick person.
Yeah. Someone
Yeah.
like whoever the
I
guy
don't
is.
see. Yeah, that just makes me want to cry. And then I think to myself, what went wrong in that person's life? That person has a mother somewhere, or at one point did. He was a loved baby. Maybe he wasn't a loved baby.
He's
I don't
crazy.
know. Yeah, that's really sad to me. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It just, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
So moving on. It's the best thing to do.
Okay.
What is your opinion on drug use? So I use the word drug because that's a very blanket term for many things, but what's your opinion? Like, what comes to mind when you think of the word drug? Pharmaceutical,
Yeah, like,
like hard
or
drugs.
yeah, hard drugs, marijuana, drugs, I don't know,
Those
but
drugs,
are
yeah.
is wine drugs? I mean, it's
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
I
Because people say
guess.
liquid's the poison and then the other ones are drugs. But I guess anything that alters your state of consciousness is a drug. So like coffee, dark chocolate.
Well, then we're all guilty of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then yeah, so what's your opinion on, you
Well,
know?
I don't, again, I'm just, I want to say to each his own, but then everybody has to know their limits. And some of them are so highly addictive, and I've seen what it can do. I had a sister-in-law who spent time in rehab, and you know, it's awful. Like, it's awful. But genetically, like I'm talking about the sister-in-law, she didn't genetically she didn't have the genes, you know, because she had parents. One was an alcoholic, and the other one had mental illness, and so that was bad. Like, I don't know. But then I see drugs being used in a good way, you know, on like those special needs kids that I was with, and I volunteer at the hospital now. So to abuse any substance, I think you've got to question the behavior behind it. Why are you doing it? What are you trying to mask? You know, what's the real problem? You know, drugs are, or alcohol, are like putting a band-aid on something, right? I mean, if you abuse it, it's like that's like you're masking something. And
Yeah, like there was something I remember hearing, and I honestly don't remember where I heard this. It was probably a TV show, but it was like some girl talking, and she was like, "My mom always said, do drugs when you're not happy, or sorry, do drugs when you're happy, not to get happy." And
okay.
that's the difference, is, you know.
Yeah. Well,
Depends. Obviously, you should never just, you know, there's some drugs you should never just try once. Like heroin is highly addictive. The fentanyl problem we have in the world today is terrifying.
Really?
The opioid epidemic, if
Oh,
you've heard
yeah,
about
like
that.
oxycodone and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just
Yeah.
any hard drug, you know, where it's like heroin isn't enough, they need something that's even more of a downer. So like they go for opioids, which is like, I think it's like 10,000 times stronger, which is insane to even think about because people OD on heroin. But
Really?
it's just because they use so much, so the potency is 10,000 times stronger. So you take a tiny like pinch and it like sends you to the moon basically.
I had oxycodone after I had my knee done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a fake knee here. And they gave me oxycodone. I hated it. I've honestly,
What did
Joe.
it do to you? I've never done any
Well, it took
pharmaceutical.
away the pain.
Okay.
And, but I felt like somebody was sawing my, I tell you, I felt like somebody was sawing my head in half. I just
Jeez.
hated the feeling. I
Yeah.
hated the feeling. And so I, after about 5 days, I just quit taking it, and then the pain was intolerable, and it was terrible. But I think I went back on to Tylenol. I didn't go back on to that. And I've had a lot of other people say, like, I have a girlfriend right now, she just had her knee done, and she immediately cut, she was on hydromorphine or something like that. She cut it in half and then weaned herself off it right away because she didn't like the feeling it gave her either. So it's kind of hard for me to think, ugh, people get addicted to this stuff.
Well, they have different reactions.
Yes.
that's like me with weed. I could never get addicted to weed because it just makes me either dumb or anxious. Like, none of them are good feelings, right? So it's like, you would, I guess, just do it to feel something different, but
or
it's like,
to,
it's not
or
good.
Or to blend in with high, like, for high school kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, to it's blend in, you know. Yeah.
But, yeah, for other people, right? Like, Seth Rogen is an obvious example. If you know him, the Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
He's a comedian. He's got the beard. He's from, like, BC.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he smokes weed all the time, and he's super productive on it. So clearly his brain reacts differently to it. So he's like, this is good. It makes me feel good. And I do a bunch of stuff. So I'm going
to
keep doing it. So that's how you get someone.
Yeah,
you know,
see?
A daily user.
Own, yeah. Every body is different, right?
That's true, yeah. We've got different chemistry. We're all the same, but we're all different.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the neat thing about humanity. Yeah. So we got about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
So I think I can plow through the rest of this if you're willing.
Sure.
The next one. What is your opinion on space travel?
Space travel, like, Richard Branson, everybody sign up and pay $1 million and go up to the moon?
Sure. Or, yeah, just anything that comes to mind. Like, are
you
for or against
space travel?
Humanity in the future, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, I think that, you know, getting on an aircraft and going that way is ridiculous, but meditation will take you into space.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah. I listened to this... guy, his name is Tom Kenyon. He's a sound healer. He's a psychologist and sound healer, and teaches, sound workshops. It's all about sound. And anyhow, a lot of meditation goes on there, and it's really interesting. He does guided meditations, but then, you know, so I think that is space travel. It's like stilling your body and really going into another dimension that way.
Yeah, and I'll have to agree, because I've only done it maybe 3 or 4 times, but guided meditation, yeah, it's crazy if you actually get into it.
Joe, you should really Google this guy. After we're done this, I'll write his name down.
Yeah, of course.
Tom Kenyon. And he's got a website, and all the sound meditations are on there. You can read a whole pile of stuff, and I could talk to you more about it later.
Of course. You're never too young to start meditation, right? Even though obviously the attention span of younger kids is...
It's like a healthy, healthy thing to build into your everyday. And I'm just being upfront and honest. I do not go into a deep meditation every day. I don't. I mean, I come out here every day and I get lost in my painting, but that's not the same. It's not the same as a focused meditation.
Yeah, because it's just mindfulness. The more mindful you are of yourself and your actions... Mm-hmm. The better off you're going to be in general,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. And
introspection is the key to
completeness,
right?
Yep.
Being actualized and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, by all means. Now on to the next one. What is your opinion on social media?
Oh, well, I'm kind of a dinosaur there. And so I do Facebook and Instagram. And
you're on Instagram. Do I already know that? Do I have you?
I don't know. I never post anything.
Okay,
oh, well, sometimes I do when I travel, but... I don't think I'm going to anymore, because you know what, like...
Who are you posting for, right?
Well,
you take pictures, you can make photo albums.
Because you know what, here's the deal. I got a lot of friends all over the place. A couple in Australia, a couple of really close friends in England, and you know, it's... and my girlfriends are in California. So sometimes it's for that, and this is how we all stay in touch. And especially with this one group, I met them in about 7 years ago, traveling. And so we went to Ireland together, and then we went to Chile together, and then we went to Greece together, and then we went to Jerusalem and Jordan together, Israel and Jordan. And so this is how we stay together. It's kind of funny. And we post pictures and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes people are posting pictures all the time of their shiny, happy, perfect life, and I'm thinking, what am I, a loser? You know, and then people say to me, oh, you travel so much because you know you put your pictures anyhow. So
the bad side of social media,
it
right?
kind of is, but the good side of social media is in this whole meditation and esoteric sort of thinking that I do. I get a lot of my information on the internet, really only 2 places on Facebook. Other than that, it's emails.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Is it okay? Yeah, it's a good resource for artists, except I'm a lazy bum, so I never put my pictures out there.
Yeah.
I should. Every time I finish a painting, I should post it, but... You know, then people will know how neurotic I really am, so I don't do it.
True. That's good. But yeah, so basically it's a tool.
It's a tool. And, you know,
so
it's...
it works
it's,
for some people, doesn't work for others.
Yeah, but I think it's really gotten out of hand. Because, you know, especially if I'm bored, oh, I'll just go on Facebook, you know.
And then hours disappear, you know.
Well, I wouldn't say hours, but yeah, a good 10 or 15 minutes. Like, what a waste of time, you know?
Yeah, true. Well, that 10, 15 minutes, that's amazing compared to other people. Other people, it's hours every single day.
Oh,
so,
no.
One, they don't get anything done. Two, you feel bad because you're seeing other people's lives.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
just, you know, makes yeah. you reflect on yourself
well,
and say,
we were
why
just,
am I not doing
we that? We were just talking about that today at lunch, at what a problem of cell phones in general are in schools, in high schools.
Yeah.
And even in, well, elementary schools, they can control it better. But in high schools, it's like kids are just, they're losing their attention span and... And I see that in adults too. This addiction happens, you know. So you know, they're doing it all the time. And
yeah, it's weird that it's become socially acceptable.
I know.
Because cell phones were around since
know,
what
so
the 80s, like those giant ones
yeah,
in the
yeah,
briefcase.
Yeah.
And then you know, so you weren't pulling that out every second of every day. But like,
I know.
First it was just the business people with the Blackberries.
Yeah.
But then as soon as iPhones grew in popularity. You know, let's blame Apple. Apple ruined the world as far as
well,
going outside, you
yeah.
know.
It's easy to point the finger all the time, but
yeah,
you know, it's like if we learned a little self-control, maybe, I don't know.
Everything would be fine. We should all meditate, if anything.
Yeah.
Put that into the school curriculum, meditation for kids.
Well, they should. You should take a look at some of the schools in other countries, like Japan. They do in Japan.
They do, nice.
And I think they
wow.
start, well, at least this is what I've seen. They start their day, even little kids. Like I've seen like videos of like kindergarten kids. Sitting there.
Nice.
I think it should be just as important as, look at it this way, people take care of their physical health. Look at how many people you know who are either dieting or looking pretty or exercising. Okay, what about our, you know, spiritual health, our mental health? I mean, you know, these things are important too.
Yeah.
Physical health has gotten, and now mental health is coming into the limelight because, you know, mental health issues aren't, you know, as taboo as they were before and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Okay, how about spiritual health?
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's like the bigger version of that. Because, yeah, spirituality is an interesting thing because that can bridge the gap between, like, religions and stuff. Spirituality is just spirituality. You don't have to put a doctrine to it. It's literally just...
No, it's your relationship with your higher self, put it
yeah,
that way.
Yeah,
or
literally.
God or...
anything.
The
humanity
Christ
is
within
a whole,
you.
Yeah, like any sort of light that is, you know, bigger than oneself. It's
mm-hmm.
it's the,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I guess higher power is just the easiest word for it, right? Because it's such a...
HS, higher self.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so anyway, on to the next one.
Okay.
What else we got here? What is your opinion on conspiracies? Have you ever dabbled in conspiracies? Do you know anything about popular conspiracies?
Oh, like...
the moon landing's fake. 9/11 was an inside job.
Any
of those. Flat Earth. The Earth is flat.
Yeah, okay, so that's wackadoodle. And the 9/11 was... I think people had knowledge it was going to happen, that's for sure. I don't know that much about it because I don't really investigate those things, Joe.
It's not worth it.
Because you know what, it happened, it's in the past, so it's not sparking my interest. Things about like aliens, that's interesting to me because I believe that we're not the only people in this universe, we're not the only planet that's inhabited, and you know, okay, they might not look like us, but you know, so that kind of stuff is interesting to me a lot of, but then I can read things and I'm thinking, oh, that's off, that's stupid.
There's a lot of misinformation.
Because
it makes you wonder how much of it is sensationalism and
right.
how much of it is documented.
Right. So I don't, when it comes to conspiracy theories like that, I just don't like, I'm not that curious to investigate on my own so I can find out what the truth is for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how I would answer that one. So I don't really.
Yeah, because that's the thing. When it comes to secrets and mysteries, because the idea of a conspiracy is that there's a group of people that are keeping a secret or
controlling
lying.
The world, yeah.
Yeah, like you got the Freemasons, right?
Yeah.
It's like, one, you won't be able to do anything to stop it. Like, if you just learn too much, like if you find out where their secret base is and then go there, they'll just shoot you. Like, you're one person, right? So you're not going to change anything. It doesn't affect you directly unless you think it does. And then that can become a situation where you might become paranoid, right? Where you can't actually live a good life. Because you're like, the tap water's got whatever the chemical is.
Yeah.
You know, because that's another one.
But they're all kind of fear-based.
Yeah.
And think about that. So do you want to choose to either believe in or investigate a fear-based idea? Or do you want to just, and this is just my simple version, or do you want to focus on the light over here, you know, and something that's good? Do you know, for like almost a whole year, I wouldn't say Trump's name. I just wouldn't even say his name. Because by saying his name, you're giving him power. I mean, I keep using him as an example because we talked about him today at lunch. Mm-hmm. But so it gives it power. So then am I going to investigate a conspiracy theory? I'm giving it the energy. I'm giving it my energy and
your attention. I'm not
doing that. Cut it off at the thing. So I want to give all my energy to things that will make the world a better place. Or, I know I sound like a simpleton, but...
No, well, because that's the thing is, you look at the grand scale of everything, and it's just meaningless because it's millions and millions and millions of years, and, you know, we're just a tiny speck on a tiny speck in a vast cosmos of nothingness.
Hey, you saw Lion King. Don't think like that.
No, I'm just saying, that's the super big scale.
Yeah.
You look at the giant big scale, and it's like we're tiny specks and nothing matters. You look at the super tiny scale, and you could be like a here in the now sort of... like guru kind of person, where it's like every moment counts and every interaction you have is the most important one you've ever had. Live every day like it's the last. And that's good in a way, but it's not good for scheduling things. Like, what, you know, for someone like me, it's like I have to have a job and I need to, you know, I'm not going to enjoy every moment, but I got to do it to make money kind of thing, right?
That's right.
So it's about managing expectations
right.
and keeping things, you know, keep yourself reasonably happy. But so the attention... at least for me right now, is I don't have it on my big picture yet. I'm just in my 20s. I'm doing this podcast, you know. I did when I was younger. When I was younger, I was like, I'm going to be a director and this and that. And so I think I'm becoming more and more into the here and now. Hopefully not too much. But
be here now. That's somebody's expression.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just about, just ignore it.
Okay.
You know, it's about being present in the moment. Even if you're doing the job you don't really like, maybe there's something you could like about doing it, or maybe your thoughts could take you... You know what I mean?
Yeah, there are ways to still enjoy your life, which I believe I do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I found the job unbearable, because there are people at my job that find it unbearable, it's like you got to change your mentality at least a little.
Yeah.
Find it marginally happy to be living your life,
something.
Right?
Something. Tell jokes. I mean, you know, that
yeah,
would
do
make
any...
your day better.
Yeah, exactly. Make the best out of your situation, right?
Yeah, kind
of. Everybody else, you know,
yeah.
is either doing that or needs to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you very much for talking with me. It's
That's
been a great chat.
Okay.
Yeah, this is an hour.
Right? Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Now I'll give you some follow-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, I want to write this down, Tom Kenyon. If you're at all interested in... any of this stuff. Here, I'll tell you a little bit about this guy.
Okay.
He's hilariously funny.
Yeah.
He was a country western singer. Like, you know, his guitar, strumming his guitar. Then he went to university, took psychology, and became a psychologist, and then started to use some of his music with his in his practice. And then it gets a little weird, and this is the part you have to read. But I believe in all of this stuff. He's in contact with some entities, or like his, he gets messages, if you want to put it that way. And he has a 5-octave range voice. I mean, he really has an amazing voice. And he can make these sounds. And this is what I listen to when I meditate. He does some guided ones, and there's usually lots of reading ahead of time. It's really interesting, Joe, and it's really, you know, I mean, I meditate for the greater good of all, really, me and everybody else. It calms me. It's like prayer. You know, Gammy, you didn't really know Gammy, but Gam got down on her knees and said her prayers every single night. Grandma says her prayers every single night, too. I still say prayers, but I also like doing this.
Yeah, well, yeah, a prayer is like... a short version of a meditation, right? The meditation can be 10 minutes to like 17 days if you want. And a prayer is like a quick little 2 minute version of that, right?
Or you might want to say the rosary, and that takes a lot longer.
Yeah, I totally believe that. Anyway, so thanks for dropping in on the Joe Van Secret Podcast.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I'd love to have you again just to talk more about your life in general and
life in general. My paintings. We'll see what's on the wall then.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks.